Hey, Vayichar Atav Be'ish Mod. David Melech got so angry, right, at this little guy over here. So remember, Perek Yudbeis started off with Nazar Navi giving over the whole mashal. And he said in the mashal that there was a poor man, and the poor man came along and he had a little sheep, a little shepsel, right? And the rich man came along and took away the sheep and was so, you know, took everything and tried grabbing it away from the poor man, and the poor man had absolutely nothing left, right? And that was that. Now, and Vayichar Atav Be'ish Mod, David got so mad at the man. Vayomer El Nazar, he said to Nazar, Chai Hashem Kiven Mavasa Yishahu. By the life of God, the man who did this is deserving of death. There's a kivsa yushalam abatoyim. He should pay the kivsa back four times. Because he had done this thing and because he didn't have any pity. Now let's talk for a second over here. Did Dovner Melech really? I mean, did he not catch it? Did he not see what was going on over here? Who was that? It's unbelievable. Nechemya told me from one of his rabbeim, Nechemya Gershman, who was here last week, he told me from one of his rabbeim that the idea is the following. He tried to get Dovner Melech to think that it wasn't referring to him. He was referring to what happened to David with Shaul. Shaul was the rich man. David HaMelech was the poor man, and the little lamb was a reference to Michal, who was taken away from David and given over to someone else. Right, given over to Palti Belai.
So long.
And therefore, David HaMelech, you're right. Why would he think of that over anything else?
Thinking about what happened to Bathsheba.
I think this is psychology. The psychology is that he looked at what he had done by Bathsheba and he really thought that there was nothing wrong with it. To the point where, when somebody told him a story like this, all he thought about was what had been done to him. What was wrong with what somebody had done to him. He couldn't even think of anything else. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, but
what an unbelievable line, though. Yeah.
The narrative doesn't portray that. It's more of David realized what he did wrong as opposed to what was... Not because of what Shaul did. I mean, it's a nice thought.
No, but what David HaMelech explains immediately, the man is Chai Visa. Reacting not himself.
Right.
But rather what it happened.
Maybe Nathan is bringing him a story about something that happened. He wants Zavi to be the judge.
That's the Pashup job. Yeah. But it seems that he understood it to be a muscle, especially from the Navi. Yeah.
Well, when we say Vayicha, David, I mean, like, who do we say David?
If he didn't think it was a real person, what's
he got angry at the rich man. At the rich
but
man.
But how could he have done that? If David doesn't think it's a real story, why is he getting so angry? Meaning, like, this is a real story.
It's not Vayichar Av David. It's Vayichar Av David Ba'ish. He got angry at the man.
Right. So, meaning he got angry at a real person.
He was getting angry at the person who had done this to him. Meaning, yeah, that person deserves to die for such a thing. Regardless, by the way, it does say that the reason why is because stealing is as if you're taking away from the soul of the other person. That is what it's supposed to be. It could be that David Melech is giving a royal decree. The royal decree is, I would kill this guy if it was might be there. It could be who is repulsed by the guy's, you know, nonchalant attitude, that he's just okay with going ahead and doing stuff like this. But there's no question, as he said before, immediately as soon as he said this, Duma, who's the Malach of death, immediately called up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, kill him now. David HaMelech deserves to die right now. He said it. He proclaimed his own death upon himself. It's time for David HaMelech to die because of what he had just done. Do it right now, and that's that. So that's what he had done for himself, and that's that. By the way, it could be that David HaMelech thought there's no Jew that could ever do such a thing, and therefore this person is a non-Jew. And a non-Jew that steals is Chayiv Misa. And that's the reason why Chayiv Misa. But that doesn't explain why he would pay four times altogether. But, however, he was going to be punished four times. Four of his children were going to be affected. The infant that Bathsheba had bore for him, that's punishment number one. He was going to die. Tamar was going to be shamed and raped. Amnon was going to die, and Avshalom was going to die. And those are the four punishments in his children that he got because of his own words of what he said. The man should be punished four times. That's when it happened.
Yeah, what did Tamar do to get punished? Amnon did something wrong.
We don't know about Tamar. That's a good question about Tamar. We don't know anything bad about Tamar. We do know about Amnon. We do know about Avshalom.
The Tino,
we have no idea what Tamar did.
The
Tino goes after the parents. Tamar, we don't know. Maybe Tamar was young also. Says in Pasuk Zayin, by whom Nasan on David, Nasan Amelech, Nasan Navi says to David Amelech, Ato Aish, you are the man. Kol Rasham Lekhi Yisrael, Anokhi Mishalti Hulamach Al Yisrael, I made you, I anointed you as king over Israel, Anokhi Tzalti Hulam Yad Shol, and I saved you from the hand of Shol. Then Lekhi Yisrael, Beis Arun Nathan, I gave you the house of your master, Beis Meshach, the Nechal Bechei Kecho, and the wives of your master you put in your bosom. That's a big question who that refers to over here. Is it referring to Egla, who is really the daughter of Michal? Are we talking about Ritzba Bas Aya, Shaul's concubine, who David Melech may have married as well? We don't know exactly if that's permitted or not.
Means wives of me.
What?
Wives.
Rashi says Michal.
Yeah, it sounds like that also. Yeah, it is hard to be able to say.
No, the Rashi got an Egla as Michal.
Radak says Egla and Michal, or if you want to say two wives, is Egla and Ritzba
Bas Aya, and that's where you go into it.
She was
the mother clause based itself, sorry?
She was whose mother?
Ritzba Bas Aya?
Yeah.
Nobody that we know of.
Wait, then why is she?
Remember, she was the issue with Avner Ben Ner. Avner Ben Ner was accused of being together with Ritzba Bas Aya, and that's the reason why he left the kingdom. Then Okiyot says something here. Oh, okay, that's that. But Egla clause based Yisrael, and I give you the house of Yisrael and Yehuda. The Ma'at, is that so little? Right? Oh, Sivul Chol Kain of Akaina. I also provided you with times this and times that. They also say all together that that's, this is where we learned that you're allowed to have 18 wives. If that wasn't enough. 18 wives all together. Kain of Akaina is how we learned that all together. You had 6 wives at the time, and then 6 times 3 all together is 18. Madua Bazisa Savarsham, why have you despised the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu so Rabbe Enai to do evil in the eye, in my eyes? As Uriah Chiti and Kisa Lachar, you killed Uriah by the sword, that's Ishto Lakatan Lacha, and then you took his wife. Notice, by the way, Lakatan Lacha, Ishto, you took his wife as your wife. Do you notice that, by the way? He did not say you slept with a married woman and then you killed Uriah. Uriah was the big problem over here, that Uriah died and his wife you took for yourself as a wife. Also Rakhav Acher ben Ammon, you killed him by the sword of the Ammonim. The real issue here was Chilul Hashem, says the Miam Lois over here, even though she was halakhically divorced and even though technically she wasn't married to Uriah Chiti, especially because Uriah Chiti never returned from the war, so there was no issue of Eish HaSish. Nonetheless, it looked bad. That's the idea behind him, and that's the reason why it was so bad. Now the reason why is because, number one, you should have tried it in court. That's number one. Number two, David technically had the right to take Bathsheba, but he should have waited. That's number two. Number three, Uriah Chiti, although he was married to Malchus, he should have done it in a different way other than sending him to war, and that was the big problem over there, especially because it was an Ammoni sword. The Ammoni sword that had killed him had a picture of a god on it. So the person that was holding the Ammoni sword that ended up killing Uriah Chiti praised his lord because of it. So because of David Melech, I get it that it was just, you know, inadvertent, but because of David HaMelech, a person worshipped Avodah Zarah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, right there, you have a problem right over there. That's that. Now there's no question, again, that since David HaMelech was able to marry Bathsheba, it's clear he didn't do anything wrong. Since Bathsheba did end up giving birth to the eventual Mashiach, right, it's clear that something is pretty much, it's okay. Nonetheless, not the greatest thing in the world. Pasuk Yud. There will never be, the sword will never go away from your house for the rest of your life. Because you have despised me, and you have taken Uriah Chiti to be your wife. Unfortunately, there were many, many people in David Melech's family that were killed over time. So says God, I will bring evil upon you from your house. I will take your wives in front of your eyes. And I'll give them to your friends. Okay, that's unfortunately a reference to Avshalom. He will sleep with your wives in the eyes in front of this sun. Right in front of the sun and what's going to be over here. Unfortunately, that was that. This is also going to be Mida Kineged Mida, by the way. Because you took someone else's wife, therefore your wives are going to be taken away from you. That's the line over here, and that's that. David Melech says the Gemara was unbelievably worried. He thought, without a question, that the person that was going to go up against him, was going to do something wrong, was going to be someone from his side, meaning from his house or something like that. That's what he was worried about. He was worried there was going to be somebody else, but when he saw that it wasn't a slave, it wasn't an illegitimate child, it was Avshalom, who would have mercy on his father, that there wouldn't be so bad, he realized, he said, "That's thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu." He gave thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it was Avshalom who was going to take over the kingdom instead of somebody else.
Why is Avshalom fulfilling such terrible prophecy of taking his father's wife?
He didn't have to. Avshalom was given the choice and he chose it. He wanted to, and that's what ended up happening. We're going to talk about Avshalom quite a bit. You did this in private. You may have done this secretly. I'm going to do this in front of everybody, and everybody will find out about it. I'm going to make this public, and we know, because I'll talk about this all the time. Everyone knew about what David HaMelech had done wrong. Everyone knew that he had taken Bathsheba in a wrong way, and that was a problem. Plus, he did give. Immediately, David HaMelech said to Nelson and Avi, "I sinned to God," and that's that. Immediately. Now listen to this. He really wanted to say, what do you say when you normally do vidur? Chatasi, chavisi, pashati. That's what you should say, right? I did a chet, I did an avon, I did a pasha. Immediately, nothing stopped him. And although you don't normally do that to a king, when a king's talking, you don't stop him. But Yomer Nelson al-Dovid immediately. God has just removed your sin. You will not die. He wanted to go on. There was no need. He was so broken right at that moment. And he saw it. Nelson and Ravi saw it in David's mouth that he was so broken. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately said to Nelson, he's forgiven. Forgiven. There was no excuses. There was no, but there was a gap. There was no, but he was Mori B'malchus. He had excuses. There were excuses he could have used immediately. But you don't understand. I had this, I had that. No. Immediately, David Melch said, you're right, I was wrong. You're right. I have no excuse. Of course he had excuses, but he wouldn't say it. He wouldn't say it immediately. He was forgiven and he was able to keep everything that he had over here. And that's why he was taken away. Even though Duma said, kill him now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he will no longer be killed. This came from the power of Yehuda. Yehuda admitted as soon as Tamar went up to him and said, you slept with me. It was you who slept with me. Although she didn't say it directly. Yehuda said, Tzadkavimeni. She's right. I was the one who was together with her. That went down to his great, etc. grandson, David HaMelech, and that's what happened. Medrash tells us for the next 13 years, David HaMelech was bedridden and felt sick. They changed his pillow every day 7 times because he would shed tears over what he had done over Bathsheba for 13 years. That's how long he had done it for. It's unbelievable. Some say that he fasted so much during those 13 years he lost all strength of his body. He would sit on the ground covered in ashes and dust, pleading for God's mercy every single night.
Just he did it for 7 days before the until the baby died, and then he
hold on. You are right that later on there's going to be that. He only did this in private. This is what he would do when he would get up in the middle of the night. Tehillim was already written. He wrote that when he was a shepherd. So that's already done. He adds on to it later in the end of his life. But that's what he's going to do over here. He wrote most of it, or parts of it, most of it already. Boy, it's crazy stuff over here. But that's what ended up happening, and he knew immediately what he was supposed to do. By the way, as a side note, if we want to know when it happened, Chaf Hei Nisan is when he ordered everyone into battle. Chaf Dalid Elul is when Uriah Chiti was called back. Okay, that's when Uriah Chiti had been called back. So that means if the get was given, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, of Elul. So there was at least 5 months in between when he had grabbed, when she had been divorced, and when David HaMelech had been together with her. So we didn't have to worry about who the baby belonged to or anything like that, and stuff like that. Okay, there's a lot of stuff about David HaMelech claiming to himself that I could have overcome my Yetzirah, but I knew that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to do. That's what ended up being here. And another thing that Shmuel and Avi saw this from the first place. Shmuel and Avi saw what was going to be there. There was shame publicly. From this point forward, whenever David HaMelech would ask a question to Doeg and Achitophel, he would go up to them and he'd say a question, and he'd say, wait, David, we have a kasha for you. What's the halacha if a man sleeps with a married woman? What's the halacha?
It's
a great question. I don't know. The Medrash says Doeg and Achitophel. Achitophel also was the advisor that told him to do this. I'm not so sure about that either. But the Gemara says that Doeg and Achitophel, maybe people that were like Doeg and Achitophel.
It'll be different.
But Mitzia Nun Tesmet Aleph. That's where it mentions it. So it says, I don't have the thing over here. I'm pretty sure that's where it is. It's from Mitzia Nun Tesmet Aleph. They would shame him publicly, and every time they would go up to him, they'd say, what's going on with that? So what would David HaMelech answer? Somebody who sleeps with an Ashazish, it's Chayev Chenek, but he has a Chelek in Olam Haba. Right? But if you embarrass somebody publicly, you don't have a Chelek in Olam Haba. And that's what he'd say back to them. They would hear that and they'd laugh. Right? They'd laugh. And that's how bad it was on him. Okay, that's that. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said about David HaMelech, whoever sins, they didn't believe it. Whoever sins has the sin impressed upon their body. That's why you gotta be very careful when you go to see Mekubalim. Always cover your forehead. You never want to see them. They can read sins on your forehead. The real Mekubalim, not the fake ones. Okay? Like,
you know. They don't call your sins then you're pure.
No, they don't want to. If they don't look at you, that means something. The exception to the rule is David HaMelech. David HaMelech had nothing written on his body. There were no sins written on any part of his body. It was as if he hadn't done anything wrong whatsoever. Nonetheless, because you have angered or you have given an ability for the enemies of Hashem to speak about this thing, the child that is going to be born to you, the child that Bathsheba is already pregnant with, you will surely die. And that will be your kapara. Your kapara will be that this child will die, because obviously the child didn't do anything wrong. the child will be killed. Vayelech Nelson al Bezo, Nelson went back to his house. He did not wait. He did not spend any time with David Melch. He immediately got up and left. The child that had been born to the wife of Uriah for David Melch, so he immediately was plagued, and then soon he became deathly ill. It got worse and worse and worse. David Melch davened to a Kaddish Baruch with the child, but Yatsum David Som. He fasted day after day. He came and he slept on the ground. What's up?
Why was he doing this? He knew what was the
we learn from this. Even if the sword is on the neck of the person, nonetheless, you still have to daven. Chizkio learned from this, and that's why he davened at the end of his life, and he lived for an extra 15 years. Even when who was he? Chizkio? Yeshaya. Even when Yeshaya came to Chizkio, and he said to Chizkio, you're going to die. God has proclaimed you're going to die because you didn't have any children. Chizkio said, get out of here, Ben Amot. I'm going to daven and I'm going to live. And he lived for 15 years. He learned it from David Melech, who davened for his child.
He also begat Menashe.
That's definitely true. Nonetheless,
I heard in halacha, maybe this is not so relevant, but halacha, that if you're a ghost, if you consider a ghost, you're supposed to daven for that person to die. Have you heard of that before? If you're less than
the person who's coming out of pain, but
you have to daven for them to die.
I would find out. I don't know.
The servant of Rav Yehuda Nasi, who like dropped the pot so that everybody stopped davening for him.
The Amma.
Or whatever it was. So that everyone stopped davening for him so he would die.
Except the halakha, though. Do we really do that? Rav Yochanan also. They davened for Rav Yochanan to die.
Kibbutz said one of these things by ventilating.
That could be halakha, yeah. That could be halakha. I don't know. I don't know.
David thinks right now that he has a chance to save the kid.
100%. But what happens if he saves the kid?
Somebody else has to die.
He does. He does. This is his kapara. He was just told that the kapara was going to be, but your child's going to die. So if he has to die, that's what makes it even worse.
So maybe
the problem is going to be over there.
Shuva, would
happen.
Anybody to.
Nonetheless, he must have known, and nonetheless, he davened like a madman. The elders of the house stood over him. They tried lifting him up from the ground to say, David, you can't do this. He did not want to, nor did he eat bread with them. Now, don't think this is like his only child. He already has tons of children. Remember? I mean, he has at least 8 that we mentioned in the Psukim, let alone all the others that he might have had from all those wives, the other ones that are not mentioned in the Psukim, let alone the other kids. I mean, there were tons of kids. This is not the only kid he had, so they couldn't understand it. They didn't know about this Nebuah of Nasan and Avi. They couldn't understand it. Why is he going so crazy? By Yibi Amashvi, it wasn't the 7th day. By Yomasa Yelet, the child died. By Yuravdi David, the Hagid Lo Kimes, they were afraid if the servants of David to tell him that he died. Kimes Yelet. They said, Hinebi Yosua Yelet Chai Di Baran Wal Abelo Shom Bekol. When the child was still alive, we spoke to him, and he wouldn't listen to our voices. I love Mesa Yelev Asa Raw. How could we tell him that the child died? He's going to do evil. Remember before when he was killing people because he found out that other people were killed? Remember the Gera Maleki? Remember Bana and Rechav who came and told him, what if we tell him that the child's dead? He's going to kill us. He's going to go crazy. He's going to kill us. David saw that the servants were talking with one another. They were whispering to one another, what do we do? What are you supposed to do now? Yoven David Kimesi Yalid, David Melech immediately understood the child had died. So David Melech asked his servants, did the child die? Bayomru Mes. They said, dead. They refused to say the child is dead. They didn't want to say it directly. They say it indirectly. And by the way, we do learn halacha from that. You're not supposed to say something directly. But you do have to say that out there. Yakum David Me'aretz. David immediately got up from the ground by Yirchatz and he washed by Yosef.
The reason why is because it's usher to make some lose hope. It's usher to make some lose hope.
Well, it's already dead. The child's already dead. Man, the child's dead.
Let's say you have someone who's sick and he's slowly dying.
Whatever, but that's a different story. But he's dead. Here, they were doing it because they didn't want to say something that was improper. So it was improper. It's based on the first part of Pesach. By Yosef.
Do we get the custom to name on during the bris from this? Because the boy only lived 7 days and he's called Hayelet. He's not given a name.
He was given a name. It's going to be Yedidya. We're going to see that Shlomo Melech is going to be called Yedidya. The name of the Yelet is also
supposed to
be
Yedidya. Also,
and the Gra learns from there that you're supposed to take, that's a crazy little Gra. You're supposed to take the name of the child who passed away and give it to the next child as his second name. And that's a school for the next child to live. I don't know where that comes from.
But they can name the baby after he dies. Right, but here the baby's never given a name while he's alive.
You have to do it anyway.
Right, but I'm saying the baby here is never given a name until he died. He died on the seventh day.
Oh, then.
So I'm saying that maybe
the custom not to name
the baby until the eighth day, I'm asking if it can maybe come from
That's
here.
That's a good call. Do we know that the boy was born 7 days earlier?
In other words,
I know, but 7 days after the birth or 7 days after he got sick? What is that exactly? That might be a machlokas. I don't know. That I can't tell you for sure. How do I...
Name of baby is called the first day that there's land.
First day, no, girl. Girl, bris, otherwise you wait for the bris. But I got double male arts. My nephew wasn't named for 9 months, 9.5 months.
Mitzudah right? David says, we may have only male lead at all. He brings on both, apparently.
He brings on both. Okay, that makes sense. Yakam David male arts, by Yerchatz, by Yosef, Yachalis, and Moses. So he washed, he anointed, meaning he put on deodorant and put on oils, and he changed his clothing. We have all this, he came down to the basin of Israel, he struck when he bowed down the upper old basin, then he went back to his house, by Yishav, by Yasim, he asked for food. They brought him bread by Yochal and he ate.
He should have been morning.
Okay, so now, four different reasons why not. Okay, number one, David HaMelech, since he was a king, in Avelus, is required to not show signs of Avelus. He could not act as if he was in the ground. Now, in Echanami, that was for Tefillah, but in Avelus, the halacha for Avelus of a king is you can't show it. Okay, you can't show it. That's number one. That's not the number one. Number two, he was an Onan, meaning they had not buried the dead yet. So that's what you do when you're an Onan. You take advantage of this situation. You shower really quickly, just in case you haven't showered for the week previous. You don't want to go 2 weeks without a shower. That's disgusting. So therefore, he took a shower really quickly and got everything ready before they buried the child. Number three, the child was under the age of 30 days. Because it was under the age of 30 days, we hold that's a Nafal. And therefore, because of that, you don't sit Shiva for the child whatsoever. Or number four, this was Hakaras Hara. I know we normally say Hakaras Hatov. Sometimes we have to thank God for the bad, but we do the good. And David HaMelech held that you have to he had thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He understood that this is going to be his Kapara, and this is what had to happen. So that's why he bathed himself and expressed his thanks to God that this is what had to happen.
You gotta regret what you did.
Oh, no question. He still had, again, he did tshuva for 13 years. 13 years he did tshuva. That's without a question. What is something is he wasn't even together with his wife for 13 years.
13 years?
So according to that midrash.
What?
According to that midrash, they did tshuva for 13 years. What happened in 13 years? They decided, okay, that's enough.
Why 13? I have no idea. It must have been that something had happened after that. Maybe it was after Avshalom. Maybe after the last things all together. So let's see what it is. So his mother said to him, what is this thing that you have done? Right? I don't get it, what you did for the child. They couldn't hold themselves back. While he was alive, you fasted and you cried. All of a sudden the child's dead and now you're getting up and eating bread. What's going on here? You can't do that. It's either you fast and you're crying over what had happened, or you're happy. What is this exactly? They assumed that there was a neder involved. In the corner of the Gemara, that it was really a kasha they were asking him. It seemed he made a nether to fast this day in order for the kid to get better. But then the kid dies. The halacha is, if you make a nether, right, in order to fast for this guy to feel better, and then the person dies, you still have to complete the fast. David HaMelech wouldn't complete the fast. He broke the fast in the middle of the day. So they told him, that's not the halacha. It's not the halacha. If you made a nether to fast, you got to fast all day. You can't break your fast in the middle. What's going on here? So Vayomer Ba'odi Yelechayit Samti. While the child was alive, that's why I fasted. Then I cried, I said, who knows? Maybe a Kaddish Baruch will grant me favor and the child will live. That's a mace. Now he died. Why am I fasting? Am I able to bring him back? I'm going to him. He's not coming back to me. And what he said was, is that the line over here is that he said, no, I never made that nether. My nether was that I should fast for him in order to make him live. But since he already knew that the child was going to die, I didn't make a nether for it to be chal if the child dies. He knows that the child may die. He's doing whatever he can in order to get there, but he didn't have anything like that. Right. Number two, yeah.
I think he gets 13 years to 13 years to the end of his life. Because it seems from this that right after this,
Shlomo Melech
gets pregnant with Shlomo. And Shlomo
that's a good call. That's a very, very good call. That's a very good call. But he passed until the end of his life. That's a very, very good call. On a side note, by the way, notice what he said. I am going to him. He's not coming back to me. Meaning, I'm going to Olam Haba. once he saw that the child died, he knew he was going to have a chelik in Olam Haba, that the sin of Batsheva wasn't going to be on his head for the rest of his life.
He
knew that only from that point on. I'm sorry?
He was already told that by Nasi.
He didn't know it if the child would die. He's telling it to the Avadim now. I am going to him, he's not coming to me. That's that. So at that point, David Melech consoled Batsheva, his wife. According to the Medrash before, maybe it was because there were 13 years, and then only afterward was he together with Batsheva. Or, as Binyamin just said, you'd have to say that he didn't stop from sleeping with his wives during this time. He had beer with her. He slept with her. She gave birth to a child. Now notice this, Vayikra and Vatikra. They called his name Shlomo, and Hashem loved him. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved this child over here. Okay, there's no question that he wasn't together with her during the Avelos period, but again, there might not have been an Avelos period over here, but that's that. According to another, there's another measure that says that he's 22 years. He wept and ate his bread with ashes. Again, that would be way beforehand. Okay, either way, regardless. Something like that. It's a question who exactly called him. There's no question that there was Ruach HaKodesh that went inside the mother and the father. Batsheva and David, they both thought of the name Shlomo HaMelech. He sent in the hands of Nathan and Avi, and the name was called Yedidya because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, Yedidya was added on for Shlomo. So the way it was Shlomo Yedidya, and that's why they say the child's name from before him is Yedidya, says the Gra, that was his original name, added on to Shlomo to make Shlomo live longer. That was the bracha that they were supposed to give, and that's what you do. I'll tell you the halacha. The story that goes that the Gra had a daughter that kept losing children. She couldn't, none of her children lived. So the Gra said to her, sent a message to his daughter that said, if you want your next child to live, take the name of the last child that died and use it as the second name for the upcoming child. Name him something else and use that as a second name, and that way the child will live. Now, I don't know if we hold that la'alacha.
Beforehand to try it?
No, nobody thought of that. Nobody knew that. The Gra is the one that came up with the Kiddush, or if it was known, they didn't know it. Not so many people today. Normally, you do not name children after a child that died early. That's normally what doesn't happen. Meaning, if you have somebody who passed away in the family who died at a very, very young age, normally you do not say anything. You don't name that child. You don't use that name ever again, right, until the next generation.
What about the parent that died?
Parent, for sure. Yeah, without a question. Once they live for a certain amount. But until that point, it's not that great.
Is there a specific amount?
No, it doesn't say. It's just somebody who, a person dies suddenly or whatever it is. Yeah. They usually don't use that name unless there's a reason to, meaning Holocaust names they use. You know, they do things like that. Pasuk Vav, Vayilochem Yoav Derabas Ben Amon. Now we're going back to what's going on. Yoav, meanwhile, is in the war against Amon. Remember, he's still in the war where Uri Achiti was killed up against Rabas of Ben Amon. By Yokodas Hiram Aluka, he captured the city of the kingdom. Vayishav Yoav Malachim Al Davidi sent messengers to Davidi Yonel Chamti Ba Rabba. Waged war against Rabba, but Gamlachadati as the Iramayim. I have captured the city of the water. The Ata Asop is Yetzra'am. Go gather the rest of the people of Kanaela here. Camp by the city of Elopsa and capture it. And Elkodaniya Zahir, Venikor Shmielal. I don't want to capture the city because then the name of the city will be called on me. Yoav is still also in the midst of doing tshuva for what he had said to David HaMelech. He also says, I don't want the kavod, said Yoav. Give it over to David HaMelech. He wants to preserve the kavod over there, and that's what he's trying to do. By Esav David Eskola'am, he gathered all the people. He went to Rabbah. He waged war against it and he was able to capture it. He took the crown of their king from on his head. The weight of the crown was a kikar, a talent of gold. That is a crazy amount of weight, and there's no way that could fit on top of your head. I've never seen the queen's jewels. You've heard of the queen's jewels, though, right? Obviously. Supposedly, the queen's crown would never be able to be lifted up from her head from the size of the ruby or the diamond that's on it. I just don't know. None of us are English and none of us care. I'm sure there are British people who will be very insulted by what we're saying right now. What? How do you not know? Okay, shush. Anyway, regardless, there's a huge stone on it. There was a massive jewel the size of a kikar of gold on this crown. And when you wore it, it shone like the sun. I call it like a talent. I don't know. Maybe like a half a bar, you know, like those bars from Fort Knox. Think of it that way. But that was there. 28 pounds. That's crazy.
That's not possible.
The Evan Yakar, Bathiel Rosh David, went on the head of David Melch, who Shlava Ir Hotzi Harvey Ma'od.
The Egyptian talent was 27 kilos, 60 pounds. The Babylonian talent is 67. Ancient Israel adopted the Babylonian talent, but later revise the map.
It's amazing that you know that without a phone. The spoils of the city were all over the place over here. You should know, by the way, Milcom is also the name of their god. Amun worshipped Molech. The Ammonite people were very evil people. They were cruel people. They believed that you should send your kid through Molech. And what was Molech? Obviously, it's that fire thing, right? You send your kid through and your kid died when they went inside there. It's absolutely a disgusting thing altogether. Others say, by the way, it's awesome, that the crown, the way that it worked, is that it never hit the person's head. There was something that the king put on top of their head that was a metal thing that acted like a magnet. They put the opposite polarity, or whatever it's called, on the other side of the crown, so that the crown always floated above the head. So that even though it was so heavy, the magnet kept it separate, so it always floated in the air above their head, and that's how they were able to wear such a crown.
Maybe they just suspended it from the ceiling above the throne when you would sit there. Just kind of look at you.
Magnets are so much cooler. Anyway, that's that. That is that. How could they wear the crown if the crown probably had a jewel that was dedicated for their gods? So Itai Agiti had already defected to David HaMelech's side. Itai Agiti, whenever they went to war, would go over to all the gods and all the gold and all the silver and everything they had, and he would be mevatel it. Because a non-Jew could be mevatel avodah zarah. He would go over and just chop off arms and chop off things or whatever it was in order to make them usable. That's exactly what Itai Agiti did over here as well. Somehow he knocked off a little bit of the crown to allow it to be used by David HaMelech. That's Amasher Bahotzi, Bayasim Bamagir, where the people inside, he put them in saw-like chains. Or the Haritzi HaBarzel, and iron spikes, or Magzeros HaBarzel, as well as iron cutters. The Heather Osam Bimalkan. And he dragged them through the Avodah Zarah place. That's the Malkum that we said before. The thing Yasa Lechol Ori Bnei Ammon. This is what he did to all the cities of Bnei Ammon. But Yashav Dov Lechol Om Yerushalayim. And then he went out to Yerushalayim. They disgraced the Jewish people, so he disgraced them right back. And it was Mida Kenegan Mida for their cruelty of what they did to David's messengers earlier by shaving off half their beards, half their clothing, and not treating them with respect. He then treated them with the same way to show them what it was. And that was done quite often back then as a Mida Kenegan Mida, and also to scare the people around so they wouldn't take the Jews lightly. Parak Yud Gimel. But Yaakovin, after all this, Avshalom ben David, Achos Yotha. Avshalom, son of David, had a very beautiful sister, Shmuel Tamar. Her name was Tamar. The Aval Amnon ben David. Amnon ben David loved her very, very much. Now, was this the full sister? It's possible, right?
Okay, first half sister is kind of disturbing.
Yeah, we have to say a bunch of things over here. Number one, the fact that David HaMelech had lost a child. Okay, right over there, the death of the child was because of the relationship between David and Uriah's wife. That was the first thing that was wrong. Number two, the fact that Tamar is going to be raped is going to be because he took Bathsheba improperly. Number three, the fact that Amnon was going to die was Mida Kenegan Mida for killing Uriah. The fact that Avshalom was around over here and sleeping with his father's concubines was again for using his influence in order to take Bathsheba. All those four things over there. Either way, this is going to be very strange. There's no question that Amnon and that Tamar's mother was a Yafastoa, which meant that she was a capturee of war. She was the daughter of the king Talmai of Geshur. Okay, she was the daughter. The daughter's name was Maacha. That was the daughter of Tamar. Which one was Tamar? So three different opinions. Either number one, he had relations with her in the middle of the war, which meant that the child that was conceived at war was Tamar. Later on, he had another child with Maacha, and that child was Avshalom. That was Avshalom, that was a full brother to Tamar. Okay, and that's that. Another answer is that she was not from David HaMelech whatsoever. She was not from David HaMelech. She came instead from a previous relationship that Maacha had had. And when Maacha was in Eishes Yifar Tzoar, she came with her. Tamar came with her and she converted as well. So she was not a sister of Amnon. She was a half-sister of Avshalom. The third opinion is that David HaMelech was together with with Maacha after she had already converted, and therefore she was 100% a full sister of Amnon. So either she was a half-sister, a Gioris, or a full sister. One of the three.
Rashi seems to like the Shahita Basimo, that they weren't related at all.
The Basimo is going to be the line of the Gemara. The Gemara goes through that, but it does mention all three different opinions by the Medrash. Okay, all those are right over there. That is that. Okay. Now the question is, we're going to see. Let's see before we get anything else. But Yetzer LaAmnon LeYischavos Bavur Tamar Achoso. So Amnon was so upset that he started to get sick over Tamar, his sister. Kibisulihi. She was a very beautiful girl. But Yipoli Be'ene Amnon Lasos
Lamauma. Beautiful girl, means she's a virgin.
But in this context, it's clear that he's trying to say she's a good-looking girl. But Yipoli Be'ene Amnon Lasos Lamauma. Amnon could not find a way to do anything to her. He couldn't find a way to talk to her because it wasn't the way of Besulos back then to go out of the house or to do anything without somebody around them, especially the princess. The princess isn't walking through the marketplace by herself, especially because there were many, many children of the king. They were all in different places. Amnon barely ever saw her, but every time he saw her, he was lovesick with her. He says, well, Amnon Rea. Amnon had a friend, Ushmo Yonadav ben Shima Achi David. It was Yonadav. It was his first cousin, the nephew of David, the son of Shema, the brother of David. Yonadav Yishkakamod, he was a very wise
Which
man.
Which brother? They were all killed.
You're right. Shema was killed. He had a son. They were all killed, but there were still children. Yeah, the grandchildren were still alive. There was one son that survived, by the way. I forgot who it was. Shimon was one of the brothers of David Melech. But Yomelo Maduat Alkochot Dal Ben Melech. Why are you so down, son of the king, prince? Baboker, Baboker, every morning. Hello, Tagili, won't you tell me? Now, it could be that he was the guy who was in charge of Amnon, like meaning all the nephews of the cousins somehow had sheiches to each one of the princes, and they were like their servants, so to speak. It could be that this was his job. But Yomelo Amnon, as Tamar Achosav Shalom Achianu, Tamar, the sister of Avshalom, my brother. You notice that, by the way? He didn't say my sister. The sister of Avshalom, my brother. I love her very much. Okay? Now, Kamara's going to tell us, this is not love. This is not the love that we're dealing with. This is the love because of her beauty. Right? A real love is the love that we're going to see that was between David and Yehonas and Ben Shaul, where there was a love that, where they loved each other as friends so much that they just couldn't stand being apart from one another. But this is a lustful love. That's not a lustful love. That's a love of real friends. That's a lustful love, and that's disgusting. But Yomelo Yonason, Shchavon Yishkapcho, listen, you should sleep on your bed. Behischol, look as if you're sick. Uvah Vichalirosecha, your father will come to see you. Vamartai love, and you'll say to him, Tavona Tamarachosi, let my sister Tamar come. Visavreni Lechen, she should make me some cake. Vaosto Leinai as a Bria, and she'll make in front of me this food. Now the food is going to be a pancake. Apparently, Tamar was really good at making pancakes. Okay, and that's that. Leman Asher Era Bachal to Miyoga. I want to see her as she's doing it, and I'll eat from her hands.
That's kind of a strange request. I can see her.
Notice, by the way. Notice, look at this, okay? Now, Yonadav's cleverness is he assumed that all he would need to do is see her. You're not going to have to sleep with her. All you're going to have to do is see her, and that should take care of all the sicknesses. You'll watch her as she's doing that, and that'll take care of your sickness. That love will go away after that. Now, he was 100% responsible for this. What he assumed was, it's like, okay, you know, he has a crush, and the crush will go away.
Yeah, but it'll make it worse when like somebody sees her.
He thinks that if he just gets over it and he sees her, then maybe things will go around and whatever and stuff like that. Regardless, at the end of the day, we all know that's not true. Yichud is still going to be a problem. We're going to see it's a lot long deal over here. The issue of Yichud was not created yet. Yichud was made between a married woman and a person who's not married to her. That was made. There is such a thing as Yichud by them. There's no such thing as Yichud between a single man and a single girl. That Yichud had not been ossered yet by Beis Din. They assumed that if a single man and a single girl got together, they would marry each other eventually, so we won't osser it. They didn't osser such a thing.
Did they Gershom be mitaken that?
No. Yisur of Yichud is made right now. It's going to be made right after this Mice, as we'll see.
They're brother and sister, though. Yichud doesn't call brother.
If it's full brother and sister, then Yichud is applicable because they're Arias. Now, even though we're Makel, right, because we don't have that anymore, nonetheless, in theory, the souls and Isser involved.
No, of course. Right? They're still half. Half.
It's a problem.
They didn't have the same soul, and also when it comes to Yichud, the brother and
sister. Yeah, it's a problem.
It's just the mother.
From the mother.
Half
oh, either way, it's the same thing as full. Yeah, I'm thinking of not Jews. But yeah, it's the same thing as full. So Amnon sat down in the bed and he acted sick, and it was very easy for him. Right? But Yavo Amelech Lerosa, the king came to see him. He heard that Amnon was sick. But Amnon Amelech, Tavona Tamar Chosu, Talabi Pleinai, Shtei Levivos, the Ever Miyadoch. Let Tamar come, Tamar my sister. She should make pancakes in front of my eyes. Two pancakes. Just one, two. I love that. I have no idea why it's just two pancakes. I have no clue. Absolutely no idea.
Yeah. Big. Like
what? Anyway, the Ebrim Yadah, and I will eat from her hands. Now, he wanted to say, like, specifically, she should make it in front of me. She didn't mean literally, I'll eat from her hand. I mean, that's a little sick, and you wouldn't ask that from your sister. But she was known as an expert, and that was okay, right? But you saw David El Tamara Baisa. So David El sent to Tamar to her house, Waymore, staying. Go to the house of Amnon, your brother, and go make food for him. Okay? That's that. You notice that Tznius in the house, by the way. Nobody can do anything without the king. You cannot say something like that. Now, notice quickly, by the way, David Melch also said, he didn't say, feed him. Because that's weird. He's not telling the sister to feed her brother. Okay? That's whatever. Okay, and all this. It seems very clear that David Melch didn't think there was anything wrong here. David Melch was sitting here and he was just like, okay, you know, it's innocent. There's no problem over here. He had no clue. Remember who Amnon was. Amnon is the first child of David Melch, which meant he was the next in line to become king. This is the future king of Klal Yisrael. And in David HaMelech's head, he assumed that there was going to be nothing wrong over here.
How do we know that? How do we know that he wouldn't have crowned Shlomo as king when... Anyway.
Oh, Shlomo might not have been born yet, but even if he was born, he was extremely young. The only one that he knew about, or the one, his oldest son, was definitely Amnon. Second oldest was Absalom. Then came Kilav, and then came Adoniah. But Telech Tamar based Amnon Achia. Tamar went to base Amnon Achia, who showed he was lying down in the bed of Tichon, was a false safe. She took the dough, but Polish, and she kneaded it, but Talabit Le'inav, and she made the pancakes in front of her eyes, but Rashi also with Evos. The Pasuk tells us all this, because each time he did something, as Binyamin said up above, it made him feel more and more lovesick for her. He wanted this girl more and more as things went on. Yes,
it would make sense that Amnon was theoretically next in line, because otherwise Devin wouldn't have paid much attention to him.
Right.
So many kids.
Well,
he wouldn't have come visit his
sickness. Sick. He won't visit his sickness. I mean, he didn't have like 1,000 kids.
Well, we just said he had a lot.
He had a lot of kids, but I hear what you're saying.
Right,
if, let's say he had 50 kids. Let's say. We don't know that for sure. Let's say he had 50 kids. Maybe he's right, though. Maybe you're right. Maybe they let out the noise and he's very sick.
They live, that's a different story. In the same, like, area, vicinity, so he's like, oh, I can make 5 minutes.
I'm sorry. For sure, they didn't have
house.
He's right that they all were around each other. They weren't like far away from one another. It was one big palace.
Understand the situation, but if he's sick and he's sick,
who knows? We don't have any proof on any of this. But Tikach is a masrei, as a masrei. So she took the pan, but she took Levon and she poured out the pancakes in front of him. Little watery pancakes. By Moyin Lachol, but he refused to eat. They were on the Hotiu Kol Yishmei. Get all the men out from in front of the Yitzchok Kol Yishmei Alav. Could be there were friends there. She wouldn't go in because of the tznius. So she commanded, she didn't want to bring it in herself, but she didn't want to go in. She was tznius, she didn't want to go in. This is all to tell us how big of a tzedekah Tamar was. And what you asked before, Binyamin, why did Tamar deserve for this to happen to her? That I don't know. That I definitely cannot tell you. It says, Vayomer Amnon el Tamar, Avi Abriya HaKheder, bring the food into the room, the Evram Yadech, and it will eat from your hands. But here Tamar says, Vivas Asher Asal, so what's talking about Amnon Avi HaKheder, HaKhodra, she brought it to him in the room. She approached him to feed him by Achazekba, and he immediately grabbed onto her. And he said to her, Boi Shikhbi in Yakosi, come, sleep with me, my sister. And that's absolutely disgusting. The fact that he used the word
not
my sister
not a way.
Well, is not the
like
normal thing to say.
Like that's kind of a cool sister.
White does not seem that way. Okay? Yeah, I don't think it's like that, and I'm pretty sure that he wasn't
that's
black.
Like, that's
pretty
like, sure. I mean, not a good way to seduce her.
What?
Not a good way to seduce her.
I don't know. I'm honest. This is a Pella. I would bet you that in some way, in some measures that we haven't seen, there's a measure that says, and Shemayim called out from Shemayim. Like, he just said, sleep with me, and somebody called out, Achosi! Like, called it out and something like that. I can't imagine that he said that to her. It's just, that's beyond me. But Tomilo, Alachai, Al Ta'anini, know my brother, don't afflict me, don't rape me. Kilo Yasekim Yisrael, this is not done by the Jews. Al Tatsin of Allah, those do not do this abomination.
The same word is by Dina, right?
Very similar. Where will I bring my shame? You'll be considered like one of the most abominable people in Bnei Yisrael. So, three reasons. Number one, it's indecent. Number two, for her sake, for my sake, don't do this. Number three, for your sake. You're going to be looked at as a rapist. How can you think this way? Please speak about it to the king. He won't hold me back from you. Now again, if she wasn't a sister, then it makes sense. He won't hold me back from you. He'll marry you off to me.
Why wouldn't you do that? Like, to begin with.
He couldn't hold himself back, and he knew one thing. Le'alacha. You are not allowed to marry someone who looks like your sister. Even if she's a gioris, and even if she's technically mutter, someone who looks like your sister, you cannot marry.
How do you judge looks like my sister? Like, possibly.
The halacha is that if somebody is a stepsister or a half-sister, we don't marry them off to one another because of that.
Really?
There are exceptions to the rule.
That we can get married?
Rav, right? Rav, Reb Chiya was Rav's uncle because Reb Chiya's brother married Reb Chiya's sister. You get it?
Right.
Reb Chiya's brother married Reb Chiya's sister. Right. But it could be that that brother and sister didn't marry each other. It could be they had no shaykhus to one another. That could very well be. So that's the reason why it was. Growing up together, if you raise the children together, you're not supposed to marry
Where
such a person.
Where do you draw the line?
Growing up together. If
one
people
year,
look at that as being brother, if people would be surprised to hear that the brother and sister, I think that was it. But it's a Gemara. I don't have the exact, you know, lines, but that's what it would be over there, right? So that was the halacha, and that's that.
Now, at
so
this point, why does he even want to marry him? So he's willing to any mafia.
Now, the other way. What about their full brother and sister? What was she trying to say? Don't worry, Governor Moore said it right. The pshat is that she was, she was just trying to save time.
Yeah.
She's clearly just saying, like, come on, Governor Melech will say yes, let's go ask David. Or she's just
like,
trying to get out
right,
of it.
But that's like kind of like that. If he really wouldn't, I mean, Amno knows that.
Yeah. She's trying to do anything she can. He did not want to listen to her voice. He grabbed her, and I mean, he was stronger than her. But yeah, now he afflicted her, and he slept with her. Okay, that's a very strange line over here, but it afflicted her in some way. We don't really know what that means. The line over here is also, you have to understand something. I would doubt that the people that were just in his room went very far away from the room. I don't know why she didn't scream. And if she did scream, I don't know why nobody went in. Maybe because it's the prince, and you won't walk into the prince's room. But if you all of a sudden hear some screams, you'd think that somebody would have walked into the room. It's a bit of a pellet that nobody walked in and saw what was going on over here. Pasuk Tetzvav, Na'al Amon Sina Gedola Ma'od. Amnon hated her with a great hatred. Ki Gedola Sina Shasnei Me'av Asher Aheva. The hatred that he now had for her was greater than the love that he once had for her. Amnon Kumilefi. Amnon said to her, get up and go. Now the halacha is, if you rape a girl, you're forced to marry the guy, right? But the guilt that he had after doing such a thing was so terrible, he couldn't get over it whatsoever. He realized how cruel he was. He realized what he had done left, what he had done up until now. And aside from that, it could be that something else happened. The Gemara is mashma that when Amnon was together with Tamar, somehow she, not on purpose, but a hair down in that area caused him to lose his ability to ever give birth ever again. He became a kus shavcha, which means, I don't want you to imagine this, but he was cut off. Somehow it made it into that area.
Like Lorena Bobbitt, but that's not, but she had a knife.
With a knife, yeah.
But how does it...
Somehow. I don't want to think about it, so I'm not going to. Pasuk Tes Zayin, Matomelo, Al Odos Harol Gedola Azos. She said to him, this is a terrible thing that just happened to me. It's worse that you're sending me away now. You're embarrassing me completely. Up until, okay, you did something wrong, fine. But now you're sending me away like I'm just a nobody.
How does she have even, like, the clarity of mind right now that's, like, even forgive him for, like...
I don't know if she's forgiving him.
No, but I'm saying, just like you're sending worse. Me away. Like, does she want to run away? You see, like, you read about rape, do you think the person just wants
opposite,
to get apart?
The opposite. Sometimes they feel an affection toward that person more than anybody else.
Right.
And she might have felt that toward Amnon. Clearly, she was okay with marrying him. If that wasn't a push-off, she was okay with marrying him. Maybe there was some type of a love there. He called his Nara on the shore, so he called out his Nara, the Meshores, by Yomar Shulchana Zos Me'alai, send this woman away from me, as if she didn't have a name. Hakutza to the outside, nor Ola Dal Zachariah, and lock the door behind her. Don't let her back inside, which is absolutely disgusting. Well, like Ksonis Pasim, she had on her Ksonis Pasim. Now, the difference is, she normally, she came to Obashna Benosam Alecha Besuos, that's what the young woman wore. Me'ilin, with a coat. And that's what the Meshores did. Kicked her out and closed the door behind her. Now, she wasn't wearing the robe. She was sent outside with only the Ksonis Pasim, without the robe that went on top of it. So she was indecent. In her mind, she was now dressed indecently, not even able to put on the coat that she normally wore in the street. If she's walking the street, it's as if she was only wearing an undershirt, so to speak. If she was only wearing her undergarments walking in the street outside. Tika Tamar April Rosha, she put ashes and threw them on her head. She tore the Ksonis Pasim that was on her. She put her hand on top of her head.
But this is always so.
She cried out loud. Well, I don't think it was literally ashes. I think it was just dust. That's probably the more likely. There's a good call over there. There's two things that they try to learn from over here. It started a great stir immediately. People immediately got up, and when they heard what had happened to Amnon and Tamar, they immediately asserted Yichud. They immediately said, Yichud is now asur. You can never be together with even a single woman and a single guy together because of what happened over here. We see what a Jewish boy is able to do. Up until now, they never assumed it would happen. But now we see that this is what Jews do. Get him out of here. And number two, the Ephron top of the head, she covered her hair. What does that mean, she covered her hair?
She's not a basul anymore.
She's not a basul anymore. She has a chiyuv to cover her hair from now on. And that's going to mean she put an afer, so it wasn't literally ashes. She put on a covering on top of her head, and that. She also, it's a good thing over here, by the way, she raised people's awareness of the issue and caused legislation intended to make such a thing far less likely to recur. I love that. I love this. I'm just reading for the Yamalays. That's all I'm doing over here.
The first lobbyist.
Yeah, she lobbied for it. Right. She went around. Good stuff. Well, women, right, not to be raped is okay. But Yamalay Lab, Shalom Achia. Ha'aminon Achicha Hayimach. Listen to this. Avshalom always had his suspicions. Avshalom had those suspicions. He said, has your brother Aminon, you notice, made fun of his name, put in a little yud inside there, like said it's some other name. Was he with you? Now, my sister, I want you to be silent. He is your brother. Also, she's yes, leave it for the Rezet. Don't worry about this. Tamar sat and was desolate in the house of Avshalom, her brother. She wouldn't leave, and Avshalom took care of her right over there, and that's that. Now, Melod David Shomas called her, like, you heard about all these things, but Yichalam Ahud, he got extremely angry. Until that point, Avshalom would not speak with Amnon, good or bad. Because until this point, Avshalom had a crazy hatred. Yeah. From this point on, Avshalom had a crazy hatred for Amnon because of the fact that he had afflicted Tamar Hoso. It wasn't necessarily because he had raped her. That wasn't the issue. It's that he embarrassed her and threw her out of the house, that Avshalom was so incensed from it. And that's what we're referencing over here.
And that's the language you use.
That's the anel over there. The word over here that's used is... I attended the shir, that means regarding the matter, even though it sounds not because of the shir, rather despite it, I can't remember where it was. Okay, I'm not going to be able to get it right now. You might be right. Maybe it's for that, and I've just messed up. I thought it was for the other reason over there as well. Avshalom used deception. This is the first time we see it, but it certainly is not the last. Avshalom is going to be the king of lies, as we see in the upcoming prophet, and that's going to be over there. Why didn't David Melech do anything? David Melech did not do a thing to Amnon. Why did David Melech not do a thing? He was angry. Why didn't he do anything?
Did he kill his own son?
Well, there's Akasha. Raping would not be chayv in that. Okay? That wouldn't be chayv. What would you be chayv for in this case? Well, technically, the yichud is not an isser. The rape is not chayv if she was old enough, depending on how old she was.
No, but he had to kill her.
So there could have been different things in which there would have been, like, nesek and sar and stuff like that. So maybe that did get paid. But Avshalom wanted a greater punishment, and to which David Melech said, "Lehalacha, we put these things in God's hands, unless the guy is a serial rapist, which they saw now that he wasn't, since he didn't want to be together with her ever again."
Wait, so we're supposed to serial rapist? We're supposed to wait till you get three rapes before we put you in jail? I mean, what does that mean?
Good call. You have to find each situation, and David Melech defined this situation, saw what was going on here, and either did not allow the Beis Din to judge the case fully, knowing that Amnon was not going to do this ever again, which he didn't, or he somehow, the mitigation that went through, maybe there were no aiding, maybe there was no way to be able to prove what had actually happened, maybe Amnon lied and said, this is what Tamar did to me, and when I said no, this is what Tamar said back to me, who knows? In that case, lahalacha, you can't do anything in Beis Din. You leave it in the hands of a kaddish bar.
All the place to be in jail is not a Beis Din. It's an extra, it's like an extra.
If you feel that there was something that this person needs to be put in jail for. Remember, jail by us is not supposed to be a punishment. It never uses a punishment. The jail is used as a...
to protect society.
Yeah, to protect society. If they felt that he needed that, then they would have. But obviously, Avshalom disagreed with what David Melech did. David Melech really, in the end, did not do much to Amnon. He felt that Amnon was punished enough from what had happened, and he felt that was enough. Clearly, though, that was not enough. It was not enough in Avshalom's eyes. The Yigush Nasayim Yamin. At the end of 2 years, but he goes in with Avshalom the Baal Patok. Can you imagine that? Avshalom kept this hatred in for 2 years, not allowing anything to happen.
What he's supposed to do? He did it with horrible things.
Well, what he's about to do. He was shearing in Baal Chatzor, Asher Ima Fraim, that was near Fraim, but he called Avshalom Lechol Bnei HaMelech. He called out and invited all the children of the king. All the children of the king. Okay, he called them all over and he said, shearing. By the way, every time there's shearing, there's bad stuff happening. We know with Nubble. We know what happened with what's called with Lavan, right? That led to Rachel stealing or whatever it is, Yehuda and Tamar, and now over here. okay, Tamar. Came to the king, listen, your servant is shearing wool. The king and his servants should come with me. We can't all go there. It's going to be way too much for you. Do you know what my family's like? I realize how many kids I have, but he urged them. He didn't want to go, but he blessed them instead. Now, Shavanel is number one. Number one, he realized something was going on over there. There's something going on, and he had it. Either through Roha Kodesh or something else, he realized something was going on. That's number one. Number two, Governor Melech didn't go. Why are you inviting me? But if someone was inviting him to show him, nothing's wrong. I want to invite everybody from the king. You've never invited me before. Well, now I want to invite you. By Yom Rav Shalom, below Yelech Nal Yitano, Amnon Achi. Can't Amnon come with me? Amnon, my brother. By Yom Rav Shalom, why is he going with him? Why do you want Amnon? He's already suspicious. Something's up here. By Yom Rav Shalom, he urged him, come on, please. By Yisrach, he told us, Amnon, this Kol Bnei HaMelech. He sent Amnon and many other children of the king to protect Amnon. David Melech had a bad feeling about this. He was willing to send Amnon, but he wanted to know. Maybe it was a spidey sense. I have no idea. But something's going on. Tzav Avshalom was an hour of Lamor. Tzav Avshalom had already commanded his men, saying, wait until Amnon is drunk. I'm going to tell you to go hit Amnon. Kill him. Outro, do not be afraid, even though this is the prince who's the next in line to become the king. I have commanded you, be strong, be warriors. Just like Avshalom had said to him, they're cool, but I'm out. The children of the king, who were all drunk as loons, they all got up on their donkeys and they ran away, realizing that maybe they were next. Nobody knew what happened to the children of the king. They were on the road. The news came to David HaMelech. Lamar, Avshalom has killed HaMelech. Avshalom had killed all the children of the king. Not one of them remained. Avshalom sent that message specifically to David. So in the end, it was only Amnon. David would be like, oh, Baruch Hashem. He did it on purpose. Avshalom is a brilliant liar and conniver. The king got up, he tore his clothing. He lied down on the ground, and he suffered and him. All of his servants were the exact same way. They were all torn of clothing. Yonadav, the son of Shema, the brother of David. Remember Yonadav?
Yes.
The good old Yonadav. And he is calling the Aram B'nai HaMelech. And he said, don't say that all the children died. He said, it's only Amnon that died. It's only Amnon. As if he wasn't his friend. As if he wasn't the one that gave him the advice in the first place. Avshalom has been planning this from the day that he had done something to Tamar's sister. Unbelievable and stuff like this. And he's sitting there, Yonadav. As if like, I'm free from sin. I didn't do anything wrong. This is all because of you, Yonadav. One more pasuk here. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Don't do anything, the king's saying. Don't think that all the king's sons died. It's only Amnon himself that died. So don't worry. It's not as bad. Okay, we're going to get to this in 1 second over here. By the way, Amnon levadomes, Amnon alone died. He died without any mitzvos. He died without anything else to him. Nothing else was by his system. And that's what ended up happening real stuff.